Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about a subject that I'm sure just about everybody listening today can identify with, and that's codependence. How do we work with it? How do we recognize it? When we discover it, is it an advantage? Is it a disadvantage? What are we going to do about it? Well, today my guest is Karen Casey, and her publication is Codependence and the Power of Detachment, How You Can Set Your Boundaries and Make Your Life Your Own. Karen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Donna. It's just very nice that you have included me as part of your show.
It is a subject matter, Karen, that I think is so important. It's only been, in about the last 10 years or so, that codependency, maybe it's been a little bit longer than that, but I think really getting public about it and understanding what it is and why we need to address it and what we need to empower ourselves with regarding this has come to the forefront. Now, I want my listeners to know a little bit about you. You're the winner of the 2007 Johnson Institute American Honors Recovery Award, because you have been very dedicated to this area of interest. You're a speaker at all kinds of conferences. You have written 19 books, which is incredible. And you really wanted to write this book. After 19 you've already published, why?
Well, because I think this is such a primary issue for so many people, men as well as women, and I realized that codependency, I felt, was maybe my primary illness. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I faithfully attend AA and Al-Anon. But when I looked back at my own life, Donna, I realized that from the time I was really just a child, I was, I think, demonstrating very codependent behaviors.
Give us an example, Karen, of how in your life, because I think it takes tremendous courage. It's so easy for us to say, well, you know, that person over there is codependent. Well, usually when we're pointing our finger over there, you know, three or four fingers are pointing back on our hands to us. So,
you're
doing us a favor by sharing your story.
Yeah, well, thank you, Donna. And when what I mean when I say I think from early childhood I was very codependent. From early childhood I was so focused all the time on how others were perceiving me, and it was as though if I was not getting from all of those people in my family as well as outside of my family affirmation, it absolutely made me feel worthless and invisible. And so I think there are really two sides to the coin of codependence. I think there's the side of really trying to control everybody else in order for us to feel okay, and there's that sense that we're not going to be okay at all unless other people are giving us their undivided attention. And I never had any idea that this was what my problem was. I only knew that I felt constantly ill at ease no matter where I was, and I was always trying to read the faces of other people to see if I was okay.
You say you were addicted to approval.
I was addicted to approval, and I think that that is so very true for a lot of codependents, which is why we get into trying to control other people, because if they aren't doing what we want them to do, then we interpret that as rejection of who we are.
I like what you said in your book, and I'm going to quote it directly. Detachment doesn't mean a sudden decision to ignore a loved one. Rather, it means lovingly moving our attention away from them.
Right.
It means looking about our life fully and appreciatively, not narrowly, as we are wont to do when we have captured a hostage by means of attachment.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. And that can happen in so many ways. You know, little kids are so good at doing this. When you said when you were, you know, small, this was something. Well, I think kids are very much that way. And part of growing up is learning how to detach
from the
parents, to detach from that, gee whiz, you've got to take care of me for the rest of your life. That's part of the restlessness that comes in with adolescence. And I find it so fascinating that our society encourages the opposite. It wasn't always that way,
but it's encouraged. That's right. I think that we really are encouraged to be attached at the hip.
Mm-hmm.
And women and men, too, who really choose to have healthy lives that are independent as well as interdependent are oftentimes looked at unfavorably. You know, I struggled so much, and that's why at age 13 I sought alcohol as a way of finding some relief from the pain that I felt. But it wasn't until, I mean, I didn't understand what was at the root of the pain. I didn't understand that I was constantly letting everybody else define who I was. Until I was teaching at the University of Minnesota, and I had my students read a book by John Powell called Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? And in that book, he shares a wonderful story about walking down a New York City street with the journalist Sidney Harris, and they bought a newspaper from a vendor, and the vendor was really very, very obnoxious, treated them very rudely. And Sidney Harris was very kind to the man anyway and gave him a tip. And John Powell said, why were you so nice to him? He was just so rude to us. And his response was, why should I let him decide what kind of a day I'm going to have?
Oh, I love it.
And I had spent up to that point in time, and even for some years after that, because this goes back to 71, I had spent my whole life letting everybody else decide if I was going to have a happy day or a sad day, if I was going to feel good about myself, if I needed to work harder to take care of you so you wouldn't reject me. My whole life had been about dancing around other people instead of doing my own dance.
That is something that we like to think, hopefully, as we mature, we're going to develop. But, Karen, when I was going through your book, I even related to my own life. And all of us have stories we can tell. And I think it's important we share them because people need to know, no matter what age they are, whether they're an adolescent, whether they're somebody that's 75, 80 years old, you have to go through the journey of some kind to understand the joy of who you are as an individual. And when you find that individual self, to again go into that joy, not worry about whether anybody likes it or not, but just to be who you are and say, you know, I really like my own company. I really don't give a hoot if anybody else, you know, is
right
pleased with it or not. I'm just, and that's not being arrogant. That's
right.
Not being obnoxious. You know, that was one of the toughest things for me to learn, was I had a right to enjoy my own company.
Right.
I didn't have to be out there seeking people, and like you said, seeking approval. It is a real big step to honor that part of ourselves. And the wonderful thing that occurs, and that's what you bring out in your book,
is that when you do it,
you just light up everything that goes on around you. People come into contact with you and they say, wow, I don't know why, but I just feel good when I'm around you. Thank you for being here. People that maybe would have been rude are not. They don't know why they're shifting, but they see something there and it's like they want to touch it. And it is so special and it's just there. It just is, and it's so liberating. But holy Joseph, we always have to work at it, don't we?
You are right. Well, you know, I think that this issue of codependence is rooted so deeply in the very core of so many people, because they have either grown up in, and I hate this word dysfunctional because it gets so overused, but they have grown up in families that didn't affirm them in a positive way. And I think that families that don't affirm us positively, it's simply because they too were not affirmed positively. You know, we pass on to others that which has been taught to us, of course. The good news, though, is I think that there are a lot of people searching now to change the patterns in their lives. And that's really what my work has been about all these years, Donna, is to change the patterns in my own life, first and foremost. And then what a blessing it has been that patterns in the lives of other people can maybe be changed as well. You know, I think, and this is a point that I've made probably in every book I've written, I think we are really, we've been really called to heal, to help heal one another in whatever way we can. And it really means to attend in the appropriate ways, in loving ways, in kind ways. Attend to the presence of one another, but that doesn't mean in codependent ways, because then we're not ever allowing people to walk their own walk, to live their own journey.
That is such an excellent point. I have been through experiences, and this is really tough to get through, because when we're growing up, we're subject to all kinds of social environments and the to-dos, and I'm not saying that there's not value to that, but there comes a point when we have to acknowledge our responsibility in life to ourselves, first and foremost above anybody else. And some people listening to this are going to say, oh, my gracious, that's being narcissistic. No, it's not. Because I have learned, as so many wise masters through the centuries have said, to thine own self be true in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes a courage, because that means you're going to be standing aside from the general environment to invest in yourself. And that's something that you express through some of the stories. You have Rose, you have Barbara, you have you know, so many other individuals in here. Then men and women both are guilty of this. We have the caretaking personality, and boy, I've been guilty of that. You want to make everything perfect for everyone, and then you just feel so much pain when someone doesn't even give you a thank you of appreciation.
Right.
You know, all of these things we go through. And when you come to the point where you can do what you're going to do because you want to do it, not because you have to do it,
right,
but because you want to do it, and it brings you a sense of joy, you know you've gotten there.
Yes, that's exactly right, and you really hit the nail on the head when you said when it brings you joy. You know, when we're doing something, it's never I have people say to me, well, now, you know, is it codependent if I like give so-and-so a ride someplace? And I said, no, that's kind. You know, it's being kind, you know. Just turning around, I mean, being kind to one another isn't being codependent.
Right.
Codependence is when we are being kind because, in fact, we are trying to make that person indebted to us, because we are wanting in some way to make them, to hold them hostage. Or we're kind because, in fact, we think that that will make them like us better. That's not kindness any longer. Then that's trying to do the bargaining thing, which isn't helpful to anybody.
And you make many points of that through different stories. You talk about one woman here, Katie, and you say she finally discovered her own voice. And I think, with women especially, men have a challenge with this too, but they have a challenge, a different type of a challenge. But women, depending on the generation they've come through and the environments they have evolved through, often feel like if they voice anything, then they're going to be called the B word, and they're going to be degraded, and they don't want that, and so they'll keep silent.
Right.
And I can say that because I have done that for many, many years.
Right.
In fact, I went to a seminar where that was brought out. Someone said, how many times would it have made a difference if you had spoken what you know? And I just looked at him and I said, but I don't understand this. It was just a matter of courtesy or whatever. But finding your own voice and being at peace with that,
right,
and making it okay to speak your word and knowing how to do it. Sometimes you have to, not hit somebody over the head with a verbal 2x4. But it is getting rid of that sinking feeling that someone may not approve of you or that it's inappropriate female behavior.
Right.
All of these things run through your head.
Right. Well, I think that, again, you really hit the nail on the head, Donna. It's we need to be able to speak our voice. It's the tone that we should perhaps be aware of. It's never wrong we all need to find our voice, and we need to be able to speak our truth. And to speak our truth in a caring way, or using in a tone that is not offensive or beating somebody over the head, is the important thing. It's how we say our truth rather than what we say. It's how we speak our truth, and we must speak our truth.
There's also a side of us where we think we're supposed to rescue people. And often this is an indoctrination. Now, we're not talking about willingly becoming involved, let's say, in volunteer work to help people's lives or, whatever we do. But it's not taking on their stuff.
Right.
Now, detachment is a real tough challenge, because often the indoctrination of society is you own it.
Right.
But we don't. We don't have to own it. We don't have to own somebody's narcotic addiction. We don't have to own somebody's financial miseries. We don't have to own somebody's depression. I mean, if someone's a counselor or whatever, if they get into that scenario, they're in deep trouble, because
they're
not
really
going to be able
are.
To help that person.
You're right. I think that's what's been so valuable for me in 12-step groups to being a sponsor to others, to learn how to share my experience, strength, and hope, and let other people have their own journey. To not rescue other people, but share what has worked for me and make suggestions about what maybe would work for them. However, what they then choose to do has to be their own decision. It is, we are, again, like we've already talked, we're part of a culture of rescuers. And so often, and this is something that I think a lot of men feel they need to rescue family members too, but particularly
mm-hmm.
women, we are really taught to be rescuers from the time we're young.
Yes.
And again, it comes back to it's okay to be kind and be helpful, but we simply cannot rescue people, because then we are preventing them from having the journey
mm-hmm.
that they are here to have.
I think that when we can understand that an individual has the right to go through a journey, I think of a woman that I'm very, very close to who had a daughter that decided she was going to go a very harsh route. I mean, really ugly. Narcotics, all kinds of stuff came into the picture. And this woman was criticized by other people because she didn't try to save her daughter. And she said, I can't save her. She's an adult. She can come to me and she can talk to me, but I'm not playing the games that she wants to play. And it was very difficult for many people to understand this. They thought
right.
she had abandoned. And by the way, this was an adult. We're not talking about a child of
right.
10 years of age. We're
right.
talking about an adult. Actually, this young person had started in their teens and had done a lot of things that the family hadn't known anything about until after this young person was in their early 20s.
Right.
And then it was like, great, get a look at what's going on here. And then there was one disaster right after the other. And so this individual, I have a great deal of respect for, because this person says, that doesn't mean I don't love this member of family, and one day perhaps we'll be able to sit down and have tea and cookies, but at this time that's not possible, because
right.
this person just does not want to owe up to their own responsibility.
Right.
They're always going to bash, they're going to blame, they're going to pass something along. So she has done a detachment that whenever somebody asks her about the story, they'll say, don't you grieve about this? Isn't this terrible? She'll say no, because this person, this human being, has made this choice. Well, when you can get to that point, you have really grown as a human being, because instead of condemning the person, you're saying this is their choice, this is their journey.
And that is really detachment with love.
Yes.
You know, we can, we, this is all so close to my heart, Donna, because of a particular friend who has been in my life for probably the last 25 years, and she's had such a struggle in her life, and I have remained her friend, and I have tried to help her out on a number of occasions, but I have learned very painfully when I have gotten too close to crossing the line, because so you know I write books that that are close to my own heart because of my own struggles, and this
sure.
is one of those issues for me, because I have had to learn how to just detach with love
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, I care about you, I remain your friend, but I will not rescue you. You know, I am here to walk by your side, but I will not do the walk for you. And we have to do that, whether it's a friend or it's a daughter or a son. For sure, when the children are really young, we have to be more involved than that.
Oh,
but,
of course.
But you know, we just have to constantly say, Am I really preventing this person from ultimately getting the help that they need? Am I preventing them from learning the lesson that they need to learn right now by my rescuing them?
Mm-hmm. It's such a challenge because we see so much media, we get all kinds of different perspectives from different cultural environments we may find ourselves in. To have that sense of detachment
right.
with love
right.
and to empower that other person to have the right to do what they want to do.
Right.
That is such a gift. I like what you said. Detachment is a gift for both people. It acknowledges that the other person can take care of himself or herself and frees me to simply live my own life. And I think of someone else I know that has a husband that is so critical. I mean, this is a person that is one of these detail-oriented individuals, and if the dot isn't behind a certain word in a certain way, by golly, you need to go take an English class. You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And this woman eventually, she went through so much pain until finally she would just look at the person and say, you know what, you might be right.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. And just turn away and walk away. And the husband was just going bonkers.
Yeah.
He goes, wait a minute, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And just like a little boy, he'd come back and say, well, do you understand what I'm saying? She said, uh-huh, I do. That's fine. Here, have a piece of toast.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right. You know, I love that, Donna. That is really, truly one of the lines that I have used myself, and I have suggested to sponsees. You know, you don't have to go to every fight you're invited to. You don't have to get involved in the chaos of the moment. You can choose again. You can choose a different response. You can simply quietly walk away. But of course, I mean, that comes when we've really gotten comfortable with our own journey
mm-hmm.
and our ability to detach from emotionally charged situations. And for a lot of us, it takes a while until we can reach that point, because as we've already talked, you know, this culture that we grow up in really wants us to all be very engaged in the emotional chaos of each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we see that in the We see that, that's what television shows are made up of, you know? I mean, and we see ourselves on a national scale getting involved in the chaos of one country with another, you know? I mean, that is what we're kind of surrounded by all the time. So it feels very unnatural to us to decide to detach from all of that chaos. But until we can do that, we simply will not be at peace.
That's true. Now, one of the points I want to make is that when we're discussing this, we're not ignoring the realities of life. I mean, crises can hit. All kinds of things can occur in life. It is sometimes a pretty murky, mucky life we can be immersed into, and it can happen instantaneously.
Right.
But when we have these understandings and these disciplines, and we are able to stand back and stand down mentally and emotionally, sometimes even physically, and say, what am I going to do with this consciously?
Right.
Because we all have that side of ourselves that's going to say, I'm going to punch that turkey's lights out.
Right.
And that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. But where are we in our maturity? What are we going to give the energy to? And what are we going to give ourselves?
Right.
What do we want to live with? All of these things are so significant, and you bring them out so well in your book, also about letting go. There are times when you maybe have to walk away from somebody, have to walk away from something, or just state your word about what's acceptable, what is not acceptable, and let the chips fall where they will and be without fear.
Right. Yeah, I think that when we listen to that inner voice, we really know how to respond to situations. But we have to train ourselves to listen to that. And that's why I think it's so good to realize that we can just take a deep breath in a moment of extreme chaos or extreme anxiety. Take a deep breath. We don't have to respond at all right now. Even when something extremely chaotic, highly charged emotionally is occurring, it doesn't mean we have to respond instantaneously. We always can step back for just a moment and take that deep breath rather than in a very kind of codependent way, jump into the fray and think, oh my God, I must do something to resolve this instantly. Because that kind of an attempt on our part is really only going to add fuel to the fire.
And the mark of a true leader, whether you're just a leader for yourself or you're leading in any other arena, is that wisdom. You must be able to look at facts, discern where you're going to put your attention and how you want to deal with it.
Right.
And sometimes, like you said, you have to, it'll seem maybe like hours, and maybe it only will be 30 seconds. But that's one of the things that people, when they work in ER, they're trained to do that.
Right.
This is something, otherwise they can't operate. If they get too emotional, then they can't do their job. They can't serve that person that's needing that emergency treatment right there. And that's where so many disciplines have to be employed. And to me, discipline is not a dirty word.
No.
And I think what we've talked about today are types of disciplines. And Karen, you've done a wonderful job with your book, Codependence and the Power of Detachment, How to Set Boundaries and Make Your Life Your Own. And I'd add to it in empowering others as well. And what is your website that people can go to?
My website is www.womens-spirituality.com. And there is no apostrophe in women's, just womens-spirituality.com. And people can email me directly off of the website. And I would suggest to your listeners that that they request your newsletter, too, because it's a wonderful newsletter.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. That's very gracious of you. I appreciate your compliment. Karen Casey, This is a book. If you know of anybody that is codependent, if you have an issue with it, God knows I've had at different times in my life, you want to know about the power of detachment, get her book, Codependence and the Power of Detachment, How to Set Boundaries and Make Your Life Your Own. Karen, thank you so much for being my guest. And we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a call at one of these three numbers if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And 530-876-3222. Now, if you've never called into the show and you'd like to do so, understand that when you call in, all I want from you is your first name or your initial. And, of course, I'd like to know where you're calling from. And then after that, I'll give you my insights, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you desire. So here are the phone numbers again, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, and 530-876-3222. Well, by the way, this microphone is going to be traveling, yes, to Tampa, Florida. We are going to be on site with a TTAP retreat, and oh boy, I'm going to have so many good things to share with you tomorrow. So in the first part of the show, we are going to be talking with a woman who is the mother of 12, who by using TTAP and who knows what else, gone from a size 22 to a size 8. So if you want to know more about this, hey, all you have to do is tune in and listen. And don't forget, remember, with all of the shows here, the Donna Sebo shows are all archived. So if you miss a show, if in going to the directory you say, wow, I missed that show, I'd like to listen to it again, hey, just go to the archives. That's how simple it is. So anyway, you can do that, and I'm going to be in Tampa broadcasting on site from the TTAP retreat, and both on Thursday and Friday. So we'll be talking about all kinds of good things while I'm there. And I wanted to let you know that on Friday, we are going to be talking with two guys, Brian McClure and Dr. Walter Simquin. And both of these gentlemen are going to be involved in the Wisdom Festival that I'm going to be attending the 17th and 18th of October. And one, Brian, is going to be talking about the Universal Flag. This is a wonderful organization. And then Dr. Walter is going to be talking about historical figures and reincarnation. He's very much involved in science and research regarding this. So we've got some real interesting people. And the next week, we're going to be talking about conquering your fear of water. Melon Dash is going to be my guest. Have you known anybody that's terrified of being close to the ocean, near a lake? It's, you know, just they just go absolutely numb whenever they think about being near water. Maybe they don't want to fly because they're afraid they're going to crash into the ocean. Well, Melon addresses that. Then we're going to be talking about how to live boldly. How to live boldly. What is that going to mean? Well, you're going to have to listen to Marianne Radmacher to find out about that. Then the Grieving Garden, Suzanne Redfern. This is such a special interview because we're going to be talking about parents and family and friends dealing with the death of a child. And so often in our society, we're afraid to talk about death. And heavens knows, we're all going to go at some time. Whether we're young or old, it is going to be happening. So this is something that really is very special. And then Dennis McMahon is going to be telling us on next Thursday about how he got involved in the paranormal. His material is titled Into the Mystic. And then next Friday, we are going to be talking about desserts. Oh, one of my favorite subjects. But we're going to be talking about desserts that are delicious, but also healthy. And we're going to be talking with Chef Rachel Albert. She's been a guest on my show before. We're going to be talking about the Ice Dream book. Aha, tantalizing? Yum, good stuff. You're not going to want to miss it. So anyway, that's what we've got lined up for the remaining part of this week and next week. So I invite you to tell your friends. Also, I am going to be, like I said, at TTAP and then at Fort Mason in San Francisco is where the Wisdom Festival on the 17th and 18th of October is going to be happening. And I invite you, if you're from that area, come on out. There's going to be speakers from all over the country, including myself, and just all kinds of products and services and interactions and seminars and classes. So go to their website, wisdomfestival.com. They have tickets at discount prices. You'll find out all kinds of good stuff. So go there. You'll find out what you need to know, and everything will be in place for you. So wisdomfestival.com for those of you in Northern California or anybody else that decides they want to go visit one of the greatest cities in the world. San Francisco is where this is at Fort Mason. And we'll also be giving you more information about that as we get closer to it, because I will have a booth there and I will be doing many consultations as well as speaking while I'm there. Okay, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and 530-876-3222. Now, I received a neat email, and I just thought that I would share it with you because everybody has a right to their own opinion. But we've been getting all of this information about $700 billion for doing this, that, or the other, and there's so much information we don't have. I mean, that's a number that most of us can't even wrap our heads around. You know, what's $700 billion? I mean, that's a lot. Well, let me give you some information that someone sent along to me, and I'm trying to find the person's name on this, so forgive me if I don't give it. But anyway, this is what they said. I'm against the $85 billion bailout of AIG. Instead, I'm in favor of giving $85 billion to America in a we deserve it dividend. And this is what they said. I think you'll enjoy it. To make the math simple, let's assume there are 200 million bona fide U.S. citizens, 18 and over. Our population is about 301 million plus, counting every man, woman, and child. So 200 million might be a fair stab at adults 18 and up. So divide 200 million adults, 18 and above, into 85 billion. That equals $425,000. Now, what's the plan? Well, we'll give $425,000 to every person 18 and above as a we deserve it dividend. Of course, it would not be tax-free. So let's assume a tax rate of 30%. Every individual 18 and over has to pay $127,500 in taxes. That sends $25,500,000,000 right back to Uncle Sam. But it means that every adult 18 and over has $297,500 in their pocket. A husband and wife have $595,000. What would you do with $297,500 to $595,000 in your family? Would you pay off your mortgage? Housing crisis solved. Repay college loans? What a great boost to new grads. Put money away for college? It'll be there. Save it in a bank? Create money to loan to entrepreneurs. Buy a new car? It creates jobs. Invest in the market? Capital drives growth. Pay for your parents' medical insurance? Healthcare improves, enable deadbeat dads to come clean or else. Remember, this proposal is for every adult U.S. citizen 18 and over, including the folks who lost their jobs at Lehman Brothers and every other company that's cutting back. And, of course, for those serving in our armed forces. If we're going to redistribute wealth, let's really do it. Instead of trickling out a puny $1,000 vote by economic incentive that's being proposed by one of our candidates, if we're going to do an $85 billion bailout, let's bail out every adult U.S. citizen 18 and over. As for AIG, liquidate it, sell off its parts, let the, you know, all the people go back to being who they are, get rid of the real estate, and let's see what we can do with it. This person said, you know, it's a crazy idea. Would it ever work? Why not try it? But can you imagine the coast-to-coast block party? How do you spell economic boom? This person said, I trust my fellow adult Americans to know how to use the $85 billion we deserve a dividend more than I do the geniuses at AIG or in Washington, D.C. And remember, the We Deserve It plan only really costs $59.5 billion because $25.5 billion is returned instantly in taxes to Uncle Sam. Well, I don't have the person's name in front of me, but I thought, what a cool idea. I wonder who'd be interested in proposing that to whoever. Maybe a mass mailing on something like this would work. What do you think, huh? What do you think about that? I like it. I think it's a good idea. Donna Sebo here, and I know we're getting close to a break. Don't forget, you can give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. This person was only talking about $85.5 billion. What if we did that with $700 billion? Ooh! Let me tell you something. In Alaska, they've been getting an annual dividend with the permanent fund. And this has been going on for years. Do you know what happens? When they get the money, most of the people are out spending it immediately. The airlines are filling up their seats. The stores are packed with people that are coming in from all over to spend the money. Wow. This is a concept applied on a, you know, a huge level. Wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be fun to see what would happen. Really would. Donna Sebo here, and I want to thank those of you who are sending me stories because I just have absolutely wonderful things in front of me. And I'm going to share a special animal story with you. And for those of you that perhaps would like to get my newsletter, now the newsletter is going to be up shortly on my website for this month, but also you're going to notice that some of my guests, there's going to be a to be announced in the listing of the featured guests in the show. Well, as I'm getting callbacks from certain authors, the information is going to be typed in on the BBS list. So just know that you can always go into the listing we have regarding upcoming guests for the Donna Sebo Show on BBS, and that will be more up to date unless it's a last minute change, which, you know, happened about a week ago. Okay, we're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. I've got more good things to share with you that I think you might enjoy, especially with Halloween coming up. How about a jack-o'-lantern pizza? Okay. I'll give you some information about that. Meanwhile, we're taking a break. and I'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. This is a story about a child dealing with the death of a dog. And the story was so touching to me, and Gail had sent it, that I thought it would be a wonderful, wonderful story to share. Now, this is about a 6-year-old, and children many times exhibit a wisdom that so often adults we need to appreciate. It is something that is wonderful about a child. They're very open. They're very clear. They do not have the biases, fears, prejudices, the filters that so often we as adults develop, and then we have to work at getting rid of the silly things. Well, this is the story, and I want to thank Gail for sending this to me. Being a veterinarian, I'd been called to examine a 10-year-old Irish wolfhound named Belker. The dog's owners, Ron, his wife, Lisa, and their little boy, Shane, were all very attached to Belker, and they were hoping for a miracle. I examined Belker and found he was dying of cancer. I told the family we couldn't do anything for Belker and offered to perform the euthanasia procedure for the old dog in their home. As they went about doing the arrangements, Ron and Lisa told me they thought it would be good for 6-year-old Shane to observe the procedure. They felt as though Shane might learn something from this experience. The very next day, I felt a familiar catch in my throat as Belker's family surrounded him. Shane seemed so calm, petting the old dog for the last time, that I wondered if Shane understood what was going on. Within just a moment, Belker slipped peacefully away. The little boy seemed to accept Belker's transition without any difficulty or confusion. We sat together for a while after Belker's death, wondering aloud about the sad fact that animals' lives are shorter than humans. Shane, who had been listening quietly, piped up and said, "I know why." Well, they were all startled. What came out of his mouth stunned me. I'd never heard a more comforting explanation. Shane said, "People are born so they can learn how to live a good life, like loving everybody all the time and being nice, right? Well, dogs already know how to do that, so they don't have to stay as long. Isn't that fabulous? What wisdom. And this child wasn't put off by the fact that his friend had to go to sleep. And I just thought that that was such a wonderful story that I wanted to share a few other things that Gail sent me. It was live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly. Remember, if a dog was the teacher, you would learn things like when loved ones come home, always run to greet them. Allow the experience of fresh air and the wind in your face to be pure ecstasy. Take naps, stretch before rising, run, romp, and play daily. Thrive on attention and let people touch you. Avoid biting when a simple growl will do. On warm days, stop to lie on your back on the grass. On hot days, drink lots of water and lie under a shady tree. When you're happy, dance around and wag your entire body. Delight in the simple joy of a long walk. Be loyal. Never pretend to be something you're not. If what you lie is buried, dig until you find it. When someone is having a bad day, be silent, sit close by, and nuzzle them gently. Enjoy every moment of every day. That kind of wisdom, I don't think you can add anything to it, do you? This is Donna Sebo. I promised you a recipe. Yes, Halloween's coming up. I love Halloween. I just think it's such a wonderful holiday. I love the costume opportunity to be able to dress up and be an eyeball or a carrot or whatever it is that you feel like you want to be. It is so much fun when you can do that. And I just think Halloween affords us adults to have a chance to play the game of pretend and be totally ridiculous or outrageously outrageous in whatever way we want. Well, part of what comes with Halloween is that when you're wanting to have a gathering or you're going to one, maybe there's going to be a potluck you'll be invited to, or there's a party, and maybe you'd like to contribute something. Maybe you want to do something at home. Well, I came across some information, and it was through the Halloween Online magazine. And they have a jack-o'-lantern pizza, and I've got pictures of it in front of me, and I thought, this would be so much fun. Kids would love it, adults would enjoy it, and it is just really, really simple. So it's something that if you're going to have a party at your house after the kids are going trick-or-treating, or you're just having a party to have a party so nobody goes trick-or-treating, but trick-or-treating is right there at your own place, this is really easy. So let me give you the recipe quickly. You need one pre-made soft pizza crust. Of course, you can make your own if you want, but if you don't want to, you can already get it ready-made. You need a bag of pre-cut pepperoni. You need an 8-ounce bag of mozzarella and cheddar cheese mix. You need a container of pizza sauce, or use your own if you like to make it. You need one green pepper and any other kind of veggies that you'd like. And then what you want to see about finding is a jack-o'-lantern cookie sheet. I didn't know they existed, but they do. Anyway, all you have to do, this is so simple, is follow the instructions on your pizza crust tube for pre-baking the crust after you shape it to the jack-o'-lantern pan. Now, once the crust is done, you cover it with the pizza sauce of your choice, add pepperoni and any veggies you want, and of course you want to put gobs of cheese on there, cheddar, mozzarella, goat cheese, whatever kind of cheese you like. It's just your imagination here. And you want to make sure you cover anything that's underneath it with the cheese. Now you want to cut the green peppers into thin slivers, and you want to save a larger piece to make the stem. And you want to lay the pieces of the green pepper out to make the indentations of the pumpkin. You know, the lines on the pumpkin? Well, that's what you want to do. And you can make 4 lines. And you then take your pieces of pepperoni to make the eyes, the nose, and the mouth of the jack-o'-lantern. And you can cut them up so that you can make whatever face you want on it. And you can also use a yellow pepper if you want for a variation on a meatless pizza. So I've got a picture of it in front of me, and it's just amazing. It looks just like a jack-o'-lantern. Now, you want to bake according to the instructions on the pizza crust wrapper, usually about 20 minutes, but you'll know when it's done because the cheese is going to be bubbly, the crust is going to be just deliciously golden, and it's going to be hard not to dig into it right away. But, of course, you're going to want to share it with everybody. And it's just absolutely so much fun when it's served. So maybe you want to get a couple of pizza pans like this, or you're just going to want to flip it out and just make sure that you have it, another one ready to go into the oven, because I guarantee you it is just going to be so popular. But that is a jack-o'-lantern pizza. But you can always do this for the holidays. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow we'll be live from Tampa, Florida, and I'm looking forward to it. So have a great day, and we'll be talking to you then. Same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.